Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. It's draft week, so that means we have all the draft talk coming your way. This week, joining me is the Athletic's lead draft analyst, Dane Brugler. He does a great job covering the entire draft. He's got a draft guide out that could tell you everything you could possibly want to know about any prospect in this draft class. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Dane Brugler about the Bengals and what they could be looking at come draft weekend. And now joining me, we have the senior draft analyst for The Athletic, Dane Brugler, who I'm super excited to have on for this episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast, because as I tweeted earlier, I don't think that there's one person outside of the scouts maybe who knows as much as Dane does about these draft prospects. If you haven't checked out his entire draft guide on The Athletic, it is so impressive. Just the level of detail he goes into for these prospects is so impressive. So we're excited to have him on the show. We can learn a little bit more about who are some names to know for the Bengals if you're looking at them at their first round pick, etc. Maybe some late round sleepers to keep your eye on. We will cover all of it. So Dane, thanks for joining me. And I guess let's just start with pick number 31 for the Bengals, right? You probably had a different mock for them before free agency, right? It probably would have been tailored to the offensive line. Well, then in free agency happens and they sign three starters and three starters that they're expecting to be impact players, especially at right guard and right tackle. We'll see how Ted Karras is at that center role and if that continues to be the plan. But now they've really opened themselves up to a possibility to, for the first time, really go defense in this draft. And I think that's where they're headed. So let's just start with your opening thoughts on what you think about Bengals' biggest needs in this draft. And then let's get into the possibilities of pick 31.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the draft, ideally you want to attack free agency so you can go into the draft with a clean board. You know, you don't have to go to a certain position. You don't have to go offensive line. You don't have to go corner. You can really just take the best player that falls to you. At pick 31, obviously that's a little different than where the Bengals are used to picking in the first round. So, you know, you're going to have to be a little patient, see how that board plays out, who falls to you. And this is a really interesting draft. You know, boards from team to team are always different, but especially this year where we don't have the upper class of players this year isn't as extensive as most years, but the middle class is robust. And so boards are going to be very, 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 very different from team to team because there's such a volume of players talking about, you know, picks 15 through 75. You know, it's just a wide range of players. And so we're going to see some surprises in the first round. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the Bengals will be surprised about who could be there for them at 31. And even though they did attack the offensive line, you know, if they have a high grade on Tyler Linderbaum, you know, and he falls to them at 31, maybe they think the value is too great. And, you know, upgrade your offensive line in a big way, bring all these guys to training camp and then figure it out from there. You can feel good about that if the grade is right. Now, I think there's, you know, to your point, like what you said, there's a good chance they could go defense here. They could go with the defensive line. We know they could use some help. Both on the edge, on the interior, they could use help at corner. And I think a sneaky pick could be safety, even though I think that's not the direction they want to go. But, you know, they don't have a safety. Two starters are not under contract beyond the season. So, you know, you never know. That could be a sneaky possibility as well. But I think that when it's all said and done, the best chance, probably a corner or maybe even a defensive lineman. And on the defensive line, a guy that really stands out to me is Logan Hall out of Houston. Mm-hmm. He gives you that inside-outside versatility. He played more of a three technique in college at Houston, but at 6'6", 280, he can also kick outside and play on the edge. You give him a little bit of a runway where he can use that length, use that quickness. He can go through blockers, and he's a young player, still just 21 years old. Probably could have used a redshirt year at Houston, but didn't have that opportunity. They needed him on the field. So I think you're getting him at a guy that's still growing, still learning, still developing, and you feel good about who he is now, but also the upside about what he could be for you in a few years.
Right, and they saw firsthand what you can do with a really stout and deep defensive line last year and just the difference it can make in a year. I mean, the improvement the Bengals defense made, starting with their defensive line and the pressure they were able to get and the different pressure packages, defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo presented. I mean, they can never have too many interior players who can also rush. So I know that's always going to be a point of conversation for this coaching staff. But I think at this point, I think that they are going to go cornerback because obviously they signed Chidobe Awuzie and Mike Hilton last year. And those are, you know, etched in as your starters. And then there's Eli Apple, who I know they were happy with last year, but they only signed him to a 1-year deal. And he did make a lot of good plays, but he was also suspect at some times in coverage. I mean, Cooper Kupp kind of exposed him in the Super Bowl, but I know it's Cooper Kupp, so a lot he does that to a lot of people. But I just think they are going to solidify that cornerback spot to play next to Chidobe Awuzie, or, you know, he has some time to be groomed under Eli Apple, and, you know, he's not your day one starter. But then you get into the conversation of, if you pick a guy in the first round, is he expected to be a starter right away? I think, and this is what I'd love to get into now, let's talk about the corners, because I know the first two cornerbacks off the board are going to go maybe both in the top 15. And a lot of our listeners know who they think the number one cornerback is going to be in that Sauce, who played down the road from the Bengals facility. And then obviously the LSU cornerback, Derek. And then after that, who do you think will be available at the bottom half of the first round?
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, like you said, Sauce Gardner's going early. He could be a top three pick. Derek Stingley has a chance to be a top 10 pick. And then I think also would include Trent McDuffie out of Washington in that mix. I think he's going to be a top 20 guy. So who's going to be left? Are any corners go in the 20s, just ahead of the Bengals? Andrew Booth from Clemson, there's a lot to like about him. He's been banged up quite a bit here in the pre-draft process. He had a groin, then he had double hernia surgery. So we don't have any testing data on him. Could not work out for teams prior to the draft. How does that affect, Andrew Booth? Does that maybe move him out of the first round? We'll have to see. Kyra Elam from Florida, a lot to like about him from a size speed perspective, 6'1" and a half, 190 pounds, ran in the 4.3s. Mm-hmm. He's best man to man where he can get physical. He can match up well with size. But he also has speed, so he can carry speed, vertical receivers on deep balls and down the field. So there's a lot of things to like about these corners. It's just where do they have them on their board? They see them as first round caliber players, worthy of the 31 pick. Maybe throw Kyler Gordon in there as well. Out of Washington, Trent McDuffie's teammate, who just under 6 foot, 195 pounds, not a burner in terms of his speed. You definitely see that down the field. But his short area agility is just off the charts. The change of direction, the way he can move. You feel like you're getting a guy that maybe, he has to get better in a few areas, technique-wise, awareness. But the fluidity, the toughness, the way he can fly around the field with that short area ability, I think Kyler Gordon could be in that mix as well at number 31.
And I know it's hard to project rookies, and honestly, until you get them on the field, you just don't know. But would you say any of those guys would be an upgrade over Eli Apple? Or do you think those guys are all, because they're not that upper echelon, that they would take some time to maybe develop?
Yeah, I think it's the biggest unknown when you talk about, you know, these prospects is the jump from college level to the NFL. It's some guys just take time to adjust to the NFL speed. But I think that's what training camp's for. You bring these guys in, you let them compete. I would definitely give Eli Apple the edge as you go into training camp, and then you kind of see how it plays out. These guys are talented. There's a lot to like about how they project at the next level. And depending on how quickly they develop, will determine just how quickly they can, you know, really push for a starting role. But I would definitely give the veteran the advantage as you go into training camp and probably for week one.
Right. So let's move on from cornerback. There's the other obvious position need, and you mentioned it, is safety. And I actually put out a piece on the Inquirer, Cincinnati.com today, for those who want to check it out and get some more in-depth information on these guys. But Petre, I think he could be a sneaky player for the Bengals, because one thing I know about Lou Anarumo is he loves players with position flexibility. And I think when you look up his bio and everything that he did, he is, you know, he played that star role that everybody talks about with Jalen Ramsey and the Rams. And now I think that's going to be like the next thing in the NFL. And, you know, obviously he can play safety, but he can also play slot cornerback. And I know they have Mike Hilton, but having too many of those players is never a problem. And as you said, Von Bell is signed only through this year. I know they're really happy about Von Bell and what he does. And Jesse Bates is one of the top players at his position. And I know they're hoping to be able to get a long-term deal done with them. But even if they're able to get the deal done with Jesse Bates, having depth behind Von and Jesse is going to be important for this team, because if one of them gets injured, you know, a 17 game season, you got to have someone behind them. And right now, after Ricardo Allen retired, you don't really have any backups that I think they would be comfortable with starting. So who are some other safeties that you think could be available maybe in the second or third round for the Bengals?
Yeah, and this is a great, if you're looking for a safety on day two, this is a really good draft to find a guy. Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame is obviously going to go early. Maybe one other safety sneaks into that first round, like a Dax Hill from Michigan. Mm-hmm. Maybe Lewis Seen could sneak in there as well. But day two, rounds two, rounds three, that's where there's going to be value. And Jalen Petrie, that's a great name to bring up because of that versatility that you mentioned. He could play the nickel. He could do a lot of things from split safety. He had 18 tackles for loss last year because they could play him close to the line of scrimmage. And, he could be a guy that would make plays in the backfield. There's just so many things you could do with that type of versatility. And he ran well, ran in the 4.4s. He's got the size of a corner, but he has the mentality of a safety, which is what you like to see. One of the more well-rounded players at the safety position this year is Jaquan Brisker from Penn State, who can do a little bit of everything. 6'1.5", 206 pounds. You really like his athleticism. You really like his willingness to hit. It seemed like when Penn State needed a big play on defense, Jaquan Brisker was able to come through for them. And so it doesn't matter if you want to play in the box, you want to play deep. I think that versatility that he brings as kind of an all-around safety is something that stands out. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about a Cincinnati prospect here, Brian Cook, who has kind of been out of sight, out of mind a little bit throughout mm-hmm. this process because he had the injured shoulder. And so he had to bow out of the Senior Bowl, could not work out at the combine, no pro day, as he kind of works his way back from that left shoulder injury that he had worked on. But this is a player that might have been the best run defending safety that I watched this year. He just did not miss tackles. His ability to come to balance, strike through his target, finish in space, really, really impressive. And so I know he's a Cincinnati native, went to Howard, the FCS level, then he bet on himself, transferring to Cincinnati. Only a one-year starter, but he really made it count on this year's tape. Had almost 100 tackles. He had double-digit passes defended. So with Brian Cook, I think there's a guy there that could be a potential starter down the road.
Well, and they can get all the intel that they want on him pretty easily. All Zach Taylor's got to do is pick up the phone and call Luke Fickell, or they could have a conversation over a cup of coffee. But what about the, I've done some reading about the Maryland safety. I believe his last name is Cross. Would he be someone that you think is a fit for Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think if you're looking for an athletic marvel at safety, Nick Cross is the guy. He's mm-hmm. 6'2", 210, and ran in the low 4.3s. Ran a 6.85 3 cone. He also ran track at Maryland. So there's a lot to like just from an athletic perspective with Nick Cross. And so that's a great place to start. Now, are there a few plays where, you could throw on film and, his eyes are in the wrong place or, the discipline needs to be better? Jahan Dotson put him in a blender a few times. And so, there's some areas where he needs to improve, but I think they're coachable. They're fixable issues that will come with his development. What you can't coach is just that speed. And so as he continues to grow, he'll understand what risks he should take, which risks he shouldn't take, how to focus in on his keys, what that means, the anticipation. So if they're going to go that direction in the third round, Nick Frost would definitely be on the radar.
All right. So let's keep moving on here. The other positions I wanted to get your input on are the tight end position for Cincinnati and running wide receiver, but also I do have questions about running back. And I guess I'll start with running back because Joe Mixon, at what point are you going to start? What point are you going to start the draft of the replacement of Joe Mixon, right? Or the someone that can kind of like groom behind him. I know they're really happy with Joe Mixon and he's still playing at a really high level, but you know, you got it. Most teams are, you know, kind of shading to having that 1-2 punch at running back, and P. Ryan was okay. I know that, you know, there's plays that I think, you know, he made that play in against Kansas City that really turned the game around, but for the most part, you know, he didn't really wow you. So do you think that the Bengals will address running back in this draft, or you still think maybe that would be like a next year situation and they kind of bring back P. Ryan? I know they have Chris Evans on the roster. Mm-hmm. And they like what he can do as a pass catcher, and he made plays here and there. He had that touchdown against the Lions, but what do you think about the running back position for the Bengals?
I mean, I think the room looks great right now, I think, but if they were to add to it, and because you always want to add competition, especially at running back, where you know, it's easy for guys to go down and you want to keep your guys fresh. So always introducing fresh legs out there, it always makes sense. So if you're going to address running back, this is a year to do it, because it's just such a deep position on day three of the draft. We're going to see a few guys go early, you know, Kenneth Walker from Michigan State, Breece Hall from Iowa State. But for the most part, the value is going to be on day three, where you can find different types of running backs who can be a valuable part of your backfield. If you want a guy that's going to help you out on passing downs, okay, Kyron Williams from Notre Dame. I mean, he can pass protect. He can catch passes out of the backfield. If you want a bruiser, the Tyron Smith-Price from LSU is a guy that will run downhill. It doesn't matter where you are on the field, he's going to be running downhill. So this running back class has so many different options from top to bottom. And if the value is there on day three, maybe that's a position they have to look at.
Mm-hmm. It's one that's not really talked about, and rightfully so, right? Because they do have a really good roster. But I know just kind of with the trend of the league right now, you're always looking to have that extra running back. I mean, look at the Rams, right? They had Daryl Henderson, and then they had Todd Gurley, and then they drafted Cam Akers. And then next year, the year after, he's taking over and he's their starting running back. So I think running back's kind of always a position to talk about each and every year. Also, I wanted to ask you about the tight end position, because they lost CJ Uzama to the Jets, and heading into this season, I wasn't really sure what to think of how much a tight end is going to play a role in the Bengals offense because of the star power they have at receiver. And the tight end is very much the fourth option, but CJ Uzama was definitely a security blanket for Joe Burrow. So I think that position is like an underrated important position in this offense. I know that they signed Hayden Hurst, but he's on his third team, kind of up in the air what you're going to get from him. But I have questions about, they drafted Drew Sample in the second round, and that doesn't really seem to have worked out in terms of his role as a pass catcher in this offense. So do they address the tight end positions in round three or four? And if so, who are some options there? And when you did your scouting report on Sample, I guess, what did you think about him? And are you surprised at kind of like the lack of production from him?
First on Sample, not really, because that's kind of how he was used at Washington, where, you know, he's a hand in the ground, inline guy going to, you know, bring a level of toughness to your offense, but wasn't a guy that's going to stretch out the seam necessarily and give you that, a guy that's going to get open whenever he wants. I don't think that really fits his profile. If they want a guy like this, I think this draft has several tight ends that are affordable. And you know, it's kind of like running backs on day three. This is a good year if you want to go that direction. Tight ends, rounds three and four, that's going to be the sweet spot to find guys that are going to fit your offense, that can step in from day one, have some type of role, and then really grow into being more of a featured part of your offense. And so, you know, we might not see a tight end in the first 60 picks, right? But once we get to rounds three, rounds four, these guys are going to fly off the board. I think one of my favorites, Jeremy Ruckert from Ohio State, 6'5" and a half, 250 pounds. Another guy who's been maybe a little bit under the radar because he injured his foot at the Senior Bowl. So had to miss a part of the Senior Bowl, missed the combine, missed the pro day. But and this is a guy that doesn't have a ton of production. And I think that'll, you know, people are immediately going to think of, oh, he's just another sample. But I think it's more just, you know, watch the wide receiver talent Ohio State had out there. That's more the reason why he wasn't targeted more. But when Jeremy Rucker was targeted, good things happened. This is a really good athlete. Mm-hmm. He has really soft hands. And, you know, it's funny, he grew up playing soccer and he was the goalie. And that really is where he kind of attributes his ability to catch the football, is just how good he got with his hands playing goalie in soccer. So Jeremy Rucker is one of those guys in the third round. If he's on the board, he would be part of the discussion, I think. You know, sticking with you know, the Washington theme with Sample, but Cade Otton this year, 6'5", 250 pounds. He's a really good two-way player. He's going to, with his ability as a receiver, as a blocker. I really like Jelani Woods out of Virginia, big athlete, 6'7", 250, ran in the 4.6s. Charlie Kohler from Iowa State, another one. So, I mean, there are a lot of tight ends this year where you don't have to use a pick in the first two rounds. You could wait to the third or fourth round and still feel pretty confident about who you're adding to your offense.
Yeah, I would not think that they go tight end in rounds one or two. So it'll just be interesting. I definitely think they're going to add a tight end in this draft, but what round? The position that I wanted to ask you about to kind of end going through all the positions is not wide receiver. I want to ask you about linebackers. And that's because nobody really talks about this with the Bengals, but it's something that if you watch the Bengals closely and the way they've drafted, it's a point of conversation, because they hit gold with Logan Wilson, right? And they drafted him. You didn't really know what you were going to get because you didn't really see him play that much from where he went to college. And he's really developed. I know that he was a player that they were very happy with, hit the leap that he made in his second season. He got banged up a little bit and his presence was sorely missed. But outside of that, they have Jermaine Pratt, who made strides, and Akeem Davis-Gaither. But you could argue that linebacker might be the Bengals' biggest weakness on defense. So do you think they need to add another? Obviously Logan Wilson, you know, controls the middle of the field, but do you think they need to add another linebacker in there? Or are you happy with that group right there?
No, I think that's a talented group. And I'm as a big Logan Wilson fan coming out of Wyoming. I tell you what, getting on the phone with him during the season. Yeah. Really impressive. You walk away from that phone call thinking like, okay, whatever we got to do, let's get this guy on our team, because, you know, he's intelligent, but in both off the field and on the field, he understands what he's doing out there. He can key read flow. There's a lot to like about what he brings to the field. I think you're right to say that's where it starts with him kind of controlling that room. And you know, I like Pratt as well. I thought that, you know, just watching them throughout the playoffs, he made some plays. But, you know, again, like just like running back, just like some of these other positions, you want to bring in competition. And if nothing else, guys that can play special teams, that's a big part that every team's looking for. You round out your special teams unit and, you know, it can bring competition for your group. And so this is another position that I really like in this draft, that you don't have to necessarily draft early. We'll see plenty of linebackers go in the first two rounds. But if you wait till the third or fourth round, I think you still feel pretty good about the options that you'll have. A guy like Channing Tindall from Georgia, probably going to be a third round pick, outstanding speed. You wait till the fourth round, JoJo Doman from Nebraska, 6'1", 230. He's kind of that nickel player for you. Mike Rose from Iowa State, if you wait till day three, Micah McFadden, Indiana. So there's a lot of really good linebackers in this class who, even if they don't profile as starters or immediate contributors on defense, they're going to help you on special teams, and you let them grow into a role on defense that's going to help you out.
Well, those names are certainly very helpful for me to kind of preview their profiles. And if the Bengals do take a linebacker, that's one of those names. Obviously this is a good reference point. So I will wrap up the podcast and let you go. But before I do, I have to ask you, if you were Duke Tobin and you're making this pick at number 31, and Tyler Linderbaum, Andrew Booth, Kaiir Elam are all on the board, who are you taking for the Bengals?
You know what? I'm a Linderbaum guy and I'm sticking to my board. He's a top 20
player.
I think
our fans are going to be very happy to hear you say that.
Well, yeah, you know, you stick to your board and, you know, bring all these talented blockers to training camp and figure it out. I mean, Linderbaum, he's just, you do worry about a little bit the lack of length. That's it's a fair critique of Linderbaum, but he has a chance to be an elite level run blocker in the league. And I mean, it's not like he's a guy that just woke up one morning and shorter arms. He's always played with shorter arms. Yeah. He understands the biomechanics of the position, how to use his body, how to anchor, how to respond to different guys. I'm going to take Linderbaum and I'll figure it out.
Well, I do have to ask you, since you studied his tape, Frank Pollock only wants glass eaters. Is Tyler Linderbaum a certified glass eater?
I won't say literally, but pretty close. He's, I think I wrote in my report, he's a bulldog. That's how he plays. I mean, he, beyond the echo of the whistle, that's how he wants to compete. Snap in, snap out. Big time wrestler in high school, former defensive lineman. I mean, just check all the boxes. Tyler Linderbaum has it.
Well, as I mentioned, I think our fans would be pretty jacked up. And if they are able to get Linderbaum, I mean, just the 360 the Bengals have done with their offensive line would be so impressive. So we'll see how this all shakes out. I personally don't think he's going to be there at 31, but we'll see. We'll see how things go. Well, Dane, thank you so much for your time again. Always great insight. And for our listeners, be sure to follow Dane on social media all next week and draft weekend. He'll give you all the insight on all the questions that you want to have answered. So appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kelsey.